Could you help us with you know, a little bit about what's quantum physics and perhaps why you consider it a magical science.
Absolutely. One of the things, to start with, the words quantum physics sounds daunting. I know it did for me, but it's not really. It's very simple. The study of quantum physics just studies movement inside the atom. And we're talking about the atom that makes up all the molecules that make up all the physical things in our world, all the stuff that we have, all the physical reality of our world is made up of molecules, and they're made up of atoms. Well, inside the atoms, everybody knows there's electrons and protons, but there's a lot of other, a whole host of other entities in there. And the way they operate inside the atom would appear to be magical. They don't follow Newton's laws. They do kind of crazy stuff. They just, it's bizarre. And so what I do in the book is explain how that, how it works, you know, in very easy terms, because I studied quantum physics, but my background, I'm a psychologist, so I'm not a scientist.
Ah.
There's no math, because they do a lot with math. I don't do anything with math. So there's no arithmetic, no numbers, anything like that.
Oh, good. So this is just applying some very deep science in the quantum physics to help our lives to work better. And
exactly.
We don't have to be a math major to do it.
No, no. And in fact, if you're a math major, you'll be disappointed because there's no math. If you're looking for numbers, this isn't the book.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So of course, the numbers that we could be looking for from looking into your book could be larger numbers than, let's say, our checking account.
Absolutely. Now, those are the kind of numbers that I can help you with. What I wanted to do, the reason I wrote this anyway, was I wanted to help people, it's sort of what you say in your introduction, I wanted to help people have happier lives and more success, be more successful in the things that they want to do. And I wanted to present some tools and ways of looking at things in a way to, you know, when you understand how the quantum works, how our world works at the subatomic level, you can give yourself permission to make changes and realize, oh, well, I can just do this then. I mean, and it really works.
Wow. Wow. So you have a background as a psychologist, and a number of people have spent, oh, gosh, a new friend recently bragged about how they'd been working with a psychologist for 10 years on their codependency patterns.
Oh, and that's an awfully long time.
Yeah. Well, she didn't start off. It took her 10 years to become completely codependent.
Okay. Yeah. Well, things take. Everybody has their own timing and their own cadence.
That's terrible. Bad joke there. But it is amazing how some people have spent extensive periods and not achieved results.
Well, you know, that's one of the things is what I like people to look at it when I work with them and also in the book is, you know, what you say you want something, but what do you really want? And sometimes you don't really want what you're saying you want. You want something else.
Yeah.
So maybe you really just want to get pity from everybody. Instead of getting the new job, what you really want is getting a lot of attention from everybody, and people are spending time working with your resume, and you're getting all this, you're getting a lot. And you'd rather do that for a while before if you get a new job, nobody else is working with you. So you really have to tell yourself the truth. What I really want here is a lot of company, which you could do in a different setting. You don't have to play a game about I need a new job. You could just say, you know, let's all do something, and that way you get attention. You know, you find a different way to achieve your goal.
Ah, okay. And so... when we're saying goals, I mean, can we use these scientific secrets to get rich, to find true love, improve our sex life, our health?
You can use the thing about the secrets is it just shows how the world works at a subatomic level. You know, one of the things that happens, for example, is that the subatomic particles don't have time the way we have them. And so they move backwards and forwards in time, and they do it all the time. So, for example, you know, if there's an explosion on the planet here, we can't go back to the combustible materials before they collided. But in the quantum, you can. You can go, it goes back. So that means that at a subatomic level, you know, you can make changes. And what I show people how to do, like in my book, is to go back and change what happened that was upsetting. If you can remember something that happened that really has been a problem for you, you can go back to that moment in a meditation, for example, and make it different. And so then when you come out of the meditation, you can now have everything be different, and it really works that way.
Mm. Wow. You know, that sounds a little bit like one of the golfing secrets that I've heard about Lee Trevino. Occasionally, like all golfers do, he'd go up there with great intentions, hit a golf shot, and something would go amiss, and the ball would go anywhere but where he wanted it to. And one of his habits was, before he moved on, when he saw the ball wasn't going where he wanted, he would stop, and without moving at all, he would recreate in his mind the golf shot that he actually wanted to have happen. And then after he got that, he would repeat it about 15 or 20 times very quickly, so that when he moved on, his experience was, I had one shot that didn't work, and I had 20 that did.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I wouldn't have done it so many times, because that seems cumbersome. So,
we had to make the movie go back real fast. But
yeah. Well, I mean, but to me, having to do it 15, 20 times, that's too many.
Okay.
I think I would recommend people do something like that if they're trying to do something like you say in golf or some kind of any sport or whatever you're trying to do. I would think you could just do it once the right way and then hold that strongly. Because positive energy is much stronger than negative energy anyway. So if you hold it with strong feeling and say, okay, this is it, I think he probably would have had the same result if he just did it once.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think.
Sure. All right. So that's...
Based on, the way everything operates, I think that would, but I think it's a great idea, and it makes a lot of sense to go back for a situation like that where you want to go back and correct it in your mind so that it did happen the way you want it.
Okay. Wow. So you've been making mention, I guess, that we don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. So how do we kind of get into it a little bit?
The thing is, Ken, anybody can understand how this works. It's very, very simple. There is a rocket science aspect to quantum physics, and most of that is about statistical probability, and they can calculate that mathematically. I don't even care about that. To me, that's, so not interesting. That's a boring part to me, because numbers don't, my relationship with numbers is not like that. And I believe you can choose what's going to happen, that anything is possible. That's one of the things we see in quantum physics. Anything is possible. Scientists believe that every possibility has some chance of occurring. So that means anything that you really want to do, you can do. And even if it seems impossible, it's not. Everything and anything is possible, and it's you putting your own focus that creates what your world is, because don't forget, it's our subconscious minds that are spinning out our lives for us and putting in front of us what we expect to see. So what I like to do when I work with people is help them make changes in their subconscious mind that then will be reflected because of quantum physics. So I put the two together. That's how I work.
Okay. So the quantum physics principles, anyone can use them. And if I'm understanding, sometimes if we're not getting what we want, there's some inner conflict or something going on inside that's kind of getting in the way.
Absolutely. And as always, if what you truly want is, I'll just keep using a job as an example, because it's a good example. People go through a lot of jobs in their life. If you want a new job and you're not getting it, then the place to look isn't, you don't pay attention to the fact that, we're in a recession or whatever and there's not many jobs. You only need one job, so you don't need thousands of jobs. It doesn't matter. You just need one job, and you can create, certainly there's more than one job happening, number one. So you want to disregard the negative messages that you see on the news and, when the insurance people scare you with, all that stuff, you pay no attention to that. And then secondly, you make up your own mind about getting a job, and you have to look inside your own, your own self, your own subconscious mind to think. I have exercises in the book so you can identify what is in there, because, of course, it's subconscious, so you're not conscious of it. But one thing that happens is that, for example, if you're trying to get a job and you just keep almost getting it, like you go on all these interviews and then you come in second every time, that's, you've got something going on there. That would be a moment to say, okay, wait a minute, let me stop and really take some time to figure out what's going on, because you have a belief that's in the way. And the belief, it perhaps, in this, in my case here that I just gave, is that I can almost get a job, for example. I can almost get the right job. Well, if you have a belief that says, I almost can get the right job, I can almost get the right job, you won't get the job. You know, you'll only, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you'll only get that far. So you want to change it, and I do give techniques in the book about how you go about changing your beliefs so that you can have then a belief that says, I will get the job, I can get it, you know, and you make the words match, and there's a little meditation and everything, so that you can get rid of a belief that's in your way. And there's other aspects of self that are in the subconscious as well, and so we can work on those, get them lined up, you know, kind of getting your ducks all lined up in a row, so that when you reach out to get the job, it'll come through.
Mm. Now, to get your books, is it okay to give out your website?
Oh, please, sure.
That's www.aquantumlife.com. That's letter A, Q-U-A-M-A-N-T-U-M, quantumlife.com.
Right, you don't forget the A, Quantum Life. Cause
yes,
it's
A, Quantum Life. Not just Quantum Life,
right,
but A.
A, Quantum Life.
And that's like for a good grade in school.
Exactly. A, getting an A plus Quantum Life.
Yeah. This is good. And now you also do more, I understand you have some consulting services, is that correct?
I do work one-on-one with people as a life coach. And I do use the quantum, you know, what's in the book is how I operate with people. We work on where their goals are, what they're looking for, and then we can see what's in the way. And it becomes very obvious once you start looking and you know where to look, you can see what's in the way. And I have tools to help people so they can change, get those things out of the way, so then they can have what they want. You know, we know this is an abundant universe, and quantum physics shows that you create your world at the moment you look at it, so it can be anything. But what's in our subconscious mind is limiting us, and sometimes in a good way, and a lot of times in a way that's not what we want. So we can change those things in our subconscious mind, and then, you know, we can create what we really do want.
Mm. So is the conscious mind and the subconscious mind using the same quantum physics principles?
Yes. I mean, the quantum physics principles, for example, the experiments, first of all the quantum physics, all the material and everything that's studied in quantum physics is studied by experiments, and you have to, in science, prove things by an experiment or it's not science. So the whole scientific aspect is that all these experiments that have been done repeatedly, and they always come out the same. For example, if you run a certain experiment and you don't look at it, the subatomic particles behave as waves of energy. They're invisible. They're waves of energy like sound. If you do watch that very same experiment and you watch it, the subatomic particles become actual particles, little tiny pieces of substance. So therefore, when we observe reality, it becomes material. It materializes in front of us. And if the parts of, you know, right now, wherever you're sitting, what's not in your world that you can see right now, it's just waves of energy for you. And then when you walk outside and you see your car, you're creating it right then. So because we're creating our world as we look at it, once we change what's in our subconscious mind, what we're going to look at is going to be closer to what we want.
Mm. Ah, and I was noticing, what chapter is it, this thing about... Was it evaluating or and letting go. Oh, let me get to that again here. Oh, investigate and eliminate.
Yes, investigating and eliminating. That's when you're going to identify what are the blocks. What is in the way of getting it? You know, you've got some message that you heard when you were three that's in your subconscious, because everything you've ever been exposed to is in your subconscious mind. Every single piece of information that you've ever been exposed to is in your subconscious mind. And what is in your subconscious mind is making up a pattern for your world. So you've got some messages in there that are negative. Everyone does, because we've watched TV and they've, pointed their finger and talked about scary things, and, that's all in there. And then when you were little, you got yelled at for something, and, it's all in there. So we can't, there's no way we can be responsible and go back and try to figure out each thing, because that would take a lifetime to do that, and that's not what it's about. But, you can look at your world and see, you can figure out by looking at how your life is, what needs to change. And you already know some things. For example, if you're working on creating more money, you have to look at your relationship with money and think, okay, what is my relationship with money? How do I feel about money? What messages must I have gotten to always, I'm still driving a VW from the early 70s, not the new VWs, but the old VW. I'm living like a hippie, and I'm, whatever. Then you look and say, okay, I must have a belief, I must have decisions in my subconscious that are saying this is how I have to live, so I need to change those so that I can have a happier, more successful life. And elegantly, the way you talked about in your introduction, where you're expending the least amount of energy for the greatest result, that's elegance. And to me, that's what it's about. You want to... every time you have to get something at the store, you want to go and have it be on sale. I mean, that's elegance. That's an elegant way of doing things. So it's easy and fun and rewarding. And that's what I want for people. I want that for everyone, so that whatever their issue is, they can heal it and have what they want.
Now, that's huge. Now, one of the things that I think you could help us to address, we see some people in the world who are in a place of abundance. There's statistics, I think it is, 2 or 3% of the people in the world have 95%
of the wealth,
that kind of a thing. So that part, it's like, oh, well, there's not enough to go around by that example.
But, it's so not true, because first of all, there is an unlimited amount. Everyone can have that. Everyone can have all the wealth, because it's not real. It is all illusion, and you're going to create it in your world. And so you're creating exactly how much money you have, and it has no value in itself. We need money to buy things, but money itself is paper. I mean, it's just not anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can create that, but it's your own limitations and your own beliefs, your own desires. It's all within you what is going to be your relationship with money and how much you'll have. And there's ways to change it.
So this small group of people that's doing very well financially is using, would you say, using the quantum physics principles to their advantage? And
a lot of, yes, I doubt that they would know that they were doing that, though, by the way. But I believe that they have, first of all, people who are born into money, they came in and they're having a life where they're going to explore and learn in their lifetime through having that tremendous abundance, and then and we'll watch and see what they do with it. I mean, you look at somebody like Paris Hilton, who came into the world with this wonderful abundance. We'll see. She's still young. We'll see what's going to happen, But that's about her life and her lessons. And for us, people have come in with various beginnings, and then it's what you make of it. Because lots of people come in, and they don't allow strikes against them to get in their way. You look at musicians like Stevie Wonder, who became successful. His first song was, he was only 12 or 13. And so he was blind, and to be able to create a world where you can be successful. Anybody can do that, and so you can't allow, I mean, we do, but it's a shame to allow anything get in your way from getting what you want. You don't have to.
Ah, so that old saying, life is what you make it, wasn't just like some flippant piece of advice. Quantum physics is telling us if that's what's going on right
yes,
in the moment.
Yes, literally, because the reality, the physical reality, isn't there until we observe it. So, you know, if you make changes in yourself, what you observe can be much, much nicer, much easier, much more fun.
Mm.
And you can realize even when things are going wrong right at the moment, you can stop and think, wait a minute, I'm creating my world. I don't want this. So I'm just going to stop and think for a minute. Don't go, you know, just don't let everything go downhill, but just kind of stop and take a pause. Say, excuse me, I need to take a break, whatever, and go and clear your head and get centered and come back. And because you're observing, it's your world, it's your life, so you want it to be better. You don't want to be, you're not a victim and you're not being dragged along by something. You're a co-creator, and I believe we are co-creating with God, so it's not just you, but they always go along with us, what we want, so...
So God's not out there saying no?
No, they never say no. They always say yes. And sadly, you know, sometimes the question is, you know, I think I want to suffer now for a few years. And you know, God isn't overjoyed at that, but they're always going to say yes, whatever we want.
Ah, so God is the ultimate yes man.
Kind of, yeah.
Ah.
Not in the way we think of as yes man,
no.
But yes, I do think that God always, God or Goddess, however you think of it.
Yes.
They love us, and they, you know, we're their children. So whenever we want, you know, we're spoiled. They say yes.
Yes. In other words, yes means I will provide creative energy, and you can use that energy to make whatever it is
whatever
that you want.
Whatever you decide. And we're going to be sad if you make it sad for you. We'll be sad, but we still wouldn't take that away from you.
Yeah. It's not fun to watch people suffering.
No, people you love suffering is what's worse than that. That's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we may have some callers out there with some questions for you.
Okay.
Take a moment and give out the phone numbers. In the U.S., toll-free, 877-876-5227. If you're up in Canada, 888-815-9756. Or if you just want to use a regular phone line or in another country, 530-876-3222. And we have Dr. Natalie Reed as our guest sharing with us 5 steps to a quantum life, how to use the astounding secrets of quantum physics to create the life you want. Now, Natalie, a number of people have heard of the movie or seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, and also the movie and then the book about the secret, things dealing with quantum physics. And my understanding is that you can kind of share some insights that go beyond those.
Well, in What the Bleep... When I saw What the Bleep, I thought it was sort of a tease because it doesn't really show you how to use the secret. So that was part of the impetus to write the book, was I wanted to show people. And when I looked for books, actually my sister loved the movie and she watched it 5 times, and I thought, oh, wow, people really are hungry for this information. But I felt it they didn't put it together the way I wanted to, and I couldn't find any books to send her, so I decided to write a book.
Yes, well, after watching the movie, down towards the end of the, where Maureen Malton there started drawing little happy designs all over her body,
uh-huh.
I thought, well, that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Just to get some tattoos and draw
right,
some designs.
Right, and we'll be all set.
Yeah.
But, and then with The Secret, that's wonderful. The Secret came out... when my book was in production and being printed to be distributed was when I saw The Secret. I hadn't heard of it till after I finished the book. And what they do in The Secret is what I do kind of in my step number 4. So I have 3 steps before and 1 after. The Secret is really very positive, and it's about affirmations and visualization, all of which really work. but the only issue is that if you don't clear away the negative messages first, the contradictory messages, it's not going to keep working. And what can happen is when you're excited about what they call the law of attraction, and there isn't that in quantum physics, so I don't use that phrase, because you're creating it, so it's not attraction. But anyway, they talk about the law of attraction. The thing is, when things start going wrong, you're going to start thinking, oh, no, now I've got the law of attraction working against me, and I'm attracting bad stuff. What do I do to get out of it? And the secret doesn't really give you anything to get out of that. So for me, I want to have something where I know, okay, I can look at this. Here's where I can look to see what's going on and look at some of my subconscious, you know, and it is in the subconscious. You've got some program in there running that's not helping you, so you want to go in and change that.
Okay, so that's one of the key items, that by getting your book, 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, and going to your website, you can order that at aquantumlife.com. Is that correct?
Yes, aquantumlife, yeah. Don't forget the A.
Okay, I'm going to remember to put the A in front of Quantum Life, so it's aquantumlife.com.
Right.
And so is there any hints that you can share with us in this very important part about clearing things?
Sure. For example, you may have made a decision for yourself when you were very young, for example, that you, you know, something your father said to you when you were little, like, you know, you're never going to make anything of yourself, or those messages are in there, and that's going to be in the way. So even though you don't necessarily even remember what he said, you can look at your life and see, gee, I almost succeed, but I'm never quite there. You know, what's going on? And so then you can go in and change that. You can erase that in a meditation. If you do remember, it's even neater, because then you can go back in the meditation and change what he said. Or confront him and say, what are you saying this to me for? This isn't the right thing, you know, and you can just change it. So it's not, everything that happened to us is not cast in concrete, and our past is not creating our present or our future. We are. So we can create a different future and a different present based on getting rid of messages from the past.
Wow. And this is able to be done in a relaxed fashion. We don't have to agonize and dredge up all the pain of the past.
No, that's not fun.
Well, what about?
Sometimes, although I don't want to sugarcoat things, I mean, sometimes it's an issue that is painful, that you realize, oh my gosh, for the last 20 years, this has been a problem in every relationship I ever had, and now I realize that I watched my mother do this, and it was a really stupid thing, and I just followed suit, and there's really no reason for me to react this way when my partner says this, and I've done it for 20 years. I mean, that can be frustrating when you realize it, but the good news is you don't have to do it again when you realize it. So, but you know, I don't want to make it seem like there's not going to be a moment when you're feeling upset about realizing things or making changes. Change can be scary for people too, and they think they have to let go of something, some issue that they've really identified with for many years. So it's not hard work in one way. I mean, you're sitting with a pen and paper and you're doing meditations where you're just sitting and following along in a guided imagery meditation. So that's not hard work. You're not digging ditches. You're not breaking rocks in the hot sun, anything like that. But you do have to be truthful with yourself, really tell yourself what the truth is. And sometimes that can be uncomfortable when you realize, ooh, I was actually wanting to hurt people. You know, that doesn't feel good. That's upsetting. So I don't want people to think it's just, you know, you just have flowers and hearts and lollipops and then everything's great. No.
Okay.
That's not true.
So we can have some angry thoughts or vengeful thoughts.
And you know, whatever feelings you have are valid, and you just want to express them appropriately and you know, not hit people over the head with them. And you can do this work strictly privately. No one has to know. I mean, it can be just your secret. You don't have to share it with anybody. It's nobody's business. And if you want to share with, you know, an intimate friend or partner, that's fine, but it's not necessary. The way I lead you through in the book, you take as long a time as you want, or you can do it more quickly. And once you've done the steps a number of times, it's you can go faster. You can move faster on it, so you don't always have to go through the whole process step by step by step. Sometimes, you know, it's an area that you've already been working on, so you sort of know already.
Ah, okay. And if someone they got your book and they're proceeding through some of these steps and they got a little stuck, can they connect through your website?
I'm happy to answer questions. I've had a number of people ask questions, although nobody, that particular thing hasn't happened so far, but people have sent me lovely comments, actually, and also I have received a few questions, and I get right back to people, so they, you know, someone asked me about disasters and bad things that happen and how does that all take place. And again, it's stuff in our subconscious minds. We all have those negative things.
Ah, now I'm probably looking right past it on your website as to where to contact you.
There's a bunch of, on most of the pages, there's a button that says, it might be at the bottom, it says, Natalie@aquantumlife.com. It's not even terribly mysterious or confusing.
There. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay,
just,
good. So
it's kind of straightforward. Natalie@aquantumlife.com. So, and yeah, you can email me. I'm happy to hear from people. It's really fun for me, actually.
Good, good. And then if someone wanted to, they could also schedule a personal consultation. Can you work with people on the phone, different parts of the country?
Yes, yeah, because I do my consultations over the phone.
Okay. Well, good. That keeps them from having to get acquainted with your cat.
No, you don't have that.
But, one of the things that I thought would be helpful, maybe you could shed some light on, after a person has been through a lot of struggle, they've always wanted something good. That's been out there, the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get this, get that. If you get a few more things, you'll be happy. But there was still this dream out there of a good life and the family and the whatever, the boat and the, you name it, different things for different people is the happy lives. And yet, for large numbers of people, because most of the wealth has been created, haven't had a lot. So there's been a lot of pain and struggle. What is some of the keys to shifting that inner self concept so that when we're applying these principles, you know, we kind of get used to it? Because if we really haven't had a lot of goodness, then how do you project it out there?
Well, you're bringing up a good question, Ken, and one of the things that's really important is your self-image, because the two things that precede reality are belief and self-image. You have to have a belief that you can have something before you can ever have it. If you believe you can't have it, you will never, never, never get it. So you must believe you can have it. But if you don't have the self-image to hold it, you can get it and lose it. So you have to have your self-image also has to be in alignment. It just works a little differently than belief does. Belief prevents it. Self-image allows it in, but then you lose it. So it's the bottom line is you still don't have it, so you it won't be any good. With your self-image, and that also, everything that's in your subconscious is evident if you really look at your life. So you want to think about your self-image about success and money and, you know, do you really think it's okay for you to succeed? And maybe you don't. If you haven't succeeded, this person has always struggled. Well, first of all, we've got messages in, you know, the American dream is like you struggle and struggle and struggle and then you succeed. I mean, the American dream is not that you get up one morning and decide, you know, that's it, I'm going to have a happy life, and then you just go about fairly easily changing your mind and then having things work out. No, that's not the, you know, we are taught that you, in order to have something be valuable, you have to struggle. That makes it valuable. That's the message we're given. Right?
No pain, no gain.
Exactly. you know, which is wrong, and, you know, that's, who wants that? That's saying, if when you say that, no pain, no gain, that's telling your subconscious, okay, you know, in order for me to gain, I'm going to have to feel pain. Well, cancel. You don't want to be thinking that at all. You want to be thinking, okay, this is going to be smooth and easy, and then I'm going to succeed. You don't want to program yourself to have a whole lot of struggling. But if you have, as we, most of us who are adults, have had all those messages go in, so we do think at some level, even if consciously we can say we don't think it, subconsciously we think we have to struggle, because that's the human condition, that's the American way and everything else. So what we want to do is shift that and put in new programs that say, you know, and for me, I really hate struggle. So if there's a struggle, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. I really, really like things to be elegant. And it doesn't, it's not, you know, nobody's perfect, so it doesn't happen every single time. But it happens a lot. And, for example, I'll give an example that happened in my life, which is fairly recently I had a lot of pain in my foot, and I had my foot x-rayed, and it turned out that I had a screw that had been put in my foot before during a surgery that I knew was in there. It broke. And when the screw broke, it actually broke the bone and made a gap in my bone. And the way bones work is once they're healed, they don't know that they need to heal again. So my bone wouldn't heal. I just always have this break. So you have there's a medical device called a stimulator, bone growth stimulator, that you have to use to stimulate the bone to remind it to now it needs to heal. Mm. Well, you know, and I said, okay, fine. And he said, oh, and your insurance doesn't cover it. Surprise. And it's $1,800. And so that's not elegant to spend $1,800 on something that isn't going to be fun. I'm not going to be able to use it again. It's not going to add any value to my life whatsoever. It's just going to bring me up to normal. I thought, oh, that's so not elegant. So as soon as I heard that, I mean, it's just the opposite. I was like, oh, no, I was rolling my eyes thinking. I immediately said, I'm not paying $1,800 for this thing. No. Yes. My foot's going to get healed, but I'm not doing that. So what I did was I visualized my foot healed, and I didn't really know what it would look like, but I just pictured like a smooth bone, like a piece of china, you know, just smooth and all smoothed over. And I, you know, I just made a choice, a real fundamental decision. This is going to get fixed. I'm not spending that money. It was, I believe, 2 days later, I was wearing this big convalescent boot, and my doctor kept talking to me about getting the, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, help me because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to spend the money. And I went to visit a friend, and she asked me what was going on with my foot, and I told her, and she said, oh, well, I have one of those from when I had neck surgery last year. You can just have mine. Just like that. Just like that. And, you know, the thing is, in my look, some people could say, well, that was just a coincidence. And the thing about this, all using all these techniques, they will always look like a coincidence. You will never, never, never be able to prove it. And the reason you can't prove it, and you can't prove it scientifically, is because I can't prove what I was thinking. I can't prove to you. I can share this with you now and tell you, and you probably believe me, Ken, and I hope your listeners do. But I can't prove it. But, you know, and I don't care if I can't prove it because my foot's all better. I didn't spend $1,800, and it was really great. So the fact that some people think, well, that's just a coincidence, yeah, if they want to think that, they can. But the reality is, if it's just a coincidence, I have them all day, every day. I mean, that things just happen like this all the time. Once you start working this way, there's just an abundance of coincidences. And, you know, they're, of course, not coincidences. But, you know, again, we can't prove it scientifically, but it doesn't really matter to most of us.
Yeah.
If things are working beautifully and you're succeeding, do you care that you can't prove scientifically how? I know I don't.
No. It's sort of like it can still be a mystery.
Yeah.
Not proven scientifically. And if our lives are working much better, then we're just kind of busy enjoying life and
not worried
so
about
care.
Whether other people think it's a coincidence or not, because so what? And it will always look, it does look like a coincidence. It really does. It just looks like, oh, well, isn't that funny that happened? But, you know, nothing is a coincidence. Especially when you know you've been sitting there visualizing that this would happen, and then the person said the exact words, you know. But, you know, I tell people it's like when you're watching Jeopardy and you say, I knew that answer, and your family looks at you with, you know, askance. The reality is you can't prove to them you knew it, but you know in your heart that you knew the answer before the contestant said it. You just didn't say it out loud, but you know you knew it. And that's really what this is about. You know that you were thinking this, and now it happened.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, too, something, if you can help shed a little light on this area. There's this thing with affirmations or, you know, repeating a thought, sometimes out loud, sometimes in our head. And so there's, like, number of thoughts, and then there's versus, like, intensity of emotion. I mean, so I'm wondering how those interplay with the creative quantum process.
I believe the, you know, every thought manifests somehow, but I believe that when you have an intensity of emotion, that's what makes it work. I think repeating something over and over is one thing, but if you don't have feelings about it, it won't work as well as if you really feel strongly about it, because it's the emotion. All emotion is a form of love. It's derived from love. It's a form of love. And love is the spiritual energy. Love is God. And so you're calling on your co-creator as you're putting your strong feelings for something. That's going to be stronger, much stronger than just thinking it.
Okay.
And of course, you can't think something without feeling, and you can't feel without thinking. So they're together all the time. But if you can really pump up your feelings about it and really get in touch with how strongly you want this, how it's going to feel when you have it, you know, how overjoyed you're going to be, and really get in touch with that feeling, that's going to bring it to you much more elegantly.
Okay. So here's a concept. I don't know if this will make sense. We know that we've got to, from what you're saying, we've got to not just desire something and think about it. We've got to connect to an intensity of emotion. And since our thoughts lead to our emotions, if we're not at a place of emotional intensity about what we desire, then do we take a look at our thoughts and adjust those somehow to get more intensity into the emotion?
Well, I mean, it depends on if it is something you really want. I mean, if you can't muster intense, if you can't feel intensely that you want it, then I would question whether how much you want it. You know, I mean, to say, you know, I want to have a tuna fish sandwich for dinner, I'm not going to be able to muster a lot of intensity. You know, I mean, it's like I don't really care. You know, kind of like, okay, maybe I want a tuna fish. Maybe I don't, you know, it wouldn't really matter. But if I want, you know, if I'm trying, really, really want this job, I was interviewed, it's something I really want, I have strong feelings about it. I really want it, you know, and it really means something to me. So that's going to be much stronger. If you're saying you want something but you can't muster any strong feeling about it, I would question how much you really want it, and I would look at that.
Okay.
Because maybe you don't want it. For example, say you say you want a relationship, but you can't muster that. Maybe you don't want a relationship, and you just think you should have one because that's what American society says. Everybody says that there's someone for everyone and all that stuff. Maybe not. Maybe your life is going to be much more successful for you to be on your own and have your own space. So, you know, you want to really look at, if you can't muster a strong feeling about wanting something, then I would question that. I would say you probably don't really want it.
Yeah. Now, something is kind of occurring to me. There's an old thing about the Ben Franklin sheet where he would look at a decision and put the things in favor of it and the things opposed to it.
Like a T chart, yeah. Pros and cons, yeah.
And so what I'm wondering is there any possibility if someone says they want something, but they're not really connecting to emotional intensity, that, okay, they have some reasons for it, but there's some stuff against it, so they're a bit of ambivalent or conflicted about it.
Well, and
it's not a clear cut. Now, isn't that where some of your book comes in to help us get clear?
Yes, because, you know, and what happens is sometimes you say you want something, but what you're getting a lot of, you're taking substitutions instead of what you want. You end up getting people's attention, or you're punishing people with it, or something else instead of, and when you realize you're doing that, you can knock all that stuff off And then have what you say you want. Because maybe you do really want it, but you've got all these other things in the way that you're getting something out of right now. So this way you can drag it on for a long time, and that's not necessary.
Mm. Wow.
But, yeah, you might have, you have, if you're not getting something you say you want, you have conflicting messages in your subconscious. That's how it works. So you want to figure out what those are.
Okay, so that takes us back to the early part of your book, which is the reason that people need to turn to this. If you've seen the movie What the Bleep, if you've seen The Secret, you listen to the tapes, and it's still not working, there's some steps that are missing that are, I'm taking, they're available in your book. Is that right?
Well, yeah, that's what I think. I mean, and those movies are both wonderful, and a lot of people really have taken off with using the techniques. But if, as you say, if it hasn't quite taken hold, you might want to look and I kind of go through step by step. As I say, I didn't have anything to do with either of those movies, but my book is completely separate. But I've heard that from people that they found it. I've heard people say, one guy said it should be a prerequisite before you see what the bleep, you should read your book, because he said, after I saw the movie, I didn't understand it. Then I read your book. Then I saw the movie again. I totally got it.
Okay.
So that was like,
oh,
well, that's good.
You're the interpreter. All the things that were between the lines in the movie became obvious.
Yeah, you know, I really didn't even see the whole movie one time. I just watched it once, and I was actually doing something at the same time as I was watching it, so I was sort of, I watched when the scientists were speaking. I thought that was really interesting, but the other part I found that I was kind of surprised at the, it didn't connect for me as well as the way I was wanting to present it.
Mm. Okay, well, and as we kind of getting close to wrap up time here, I'd like to invite, if there's some key things that you wanted to share in the last couple of minutes, what would they be if you were going to give us something?
You know, I guess the most important thing for me, for people to know, is, you know, they really, really are much more at cause in their lives than they might think, and that people, you know, can have a much, much happier, easier life, and really have what they want. You know, they really can. It's not terribly difficult, but the biggest thing is that you have to tell yourself the truth, and you follow these steps, and you can make your life better. It can be easier and more fun. I mean, that's what I think life is about. And also, not only your own life, but you can help other people. I mean, we have people in our world right now, two areas with terrible disasters in Myanmar and in China, where we can visualize healing for those people and help them, send them the healing energy to help them. And we can help friends and loved ones have happier lives as well as their own. We can do all that. We have the power to do that.
Mm. So this is like an expanded version of prayer, where we're not just beseeching some divinity outside of ourselves, come on, intervene. We're actually stepping in and decreeing it.
And sending energy, sending the love that we have, and sending them love to heal. So just sending them love and to heal. I mean, to have these two disasters so close together, we just need to send out love.
Yes. Yes, and one of the sneaky things, too, to me, is I've noticed if I'm sending love to someone, sending a positive thought to someone, inside of myself, while I'm creating that thought, I start feeling better.
You know, that's true. I usually don't think of that when I'm sending out. I just feel so strongly that these world events, you know, really affect me, and I want to, you know, whenever I hear about, I don't like to watch all the negative stuff on the news, but when you can't, you know, something like this, you want to just create in your mind that you know that soon we're going to hear stories of healing and how people, you know, got things back together and, you know, that kind of thing, so we can help create that in our world.
Yeah.
That people are healing, that things are, it turned out it wasn't quite as bad or whatever, and then now it's better and it's getting better, and you know, all the aid has reached the people, and now they're turning their lives around. Even in, still in New Orleans, we need to send energy.
Yes.
So it's about, for me, it's about taking responsibility for my life and creating my own life to be better, and creating that the life of my loved ones are better, and the world. I mean, it's our world. We need to focus on not just our own lives, but also on the whole world.
Wow. Well, there's a beautiful wrap-up to our splendid time together, Natalie.
I invite
people to go to your website, aquantumlife.com. I want to thank you for taking time from your schedule to be with all of us today.
And well, thank you, Ken.
You're welcome, and we wish you a wonderful week with lots of quantum fun coming your way. And to all of us out there, I send lots of angelic love and hugs, that we may be embraced and create that better world by caring for ourselves and those around us, and knowing that we can reach out far distances and send love all over the planet, as Dr. Natalie has suggested. So enjoy that, carry that into your week, and I look forward to connecting with everyone again next Saturday for more fun and adventures on Advanced Living Radio. Until then, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let's go out.